Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and I, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this afternoon, we have an interview with Ross Daly, who is a leading light on a cultural initiative called the Labyrinth Musical Workshop on the island of Crete. We'll have a roundup of some of the stories of Irish interest that are making the headlines across Europe, and we'll have some chart-topping music from Greece for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. A major conference on European economic policy takes place tonight at Minute College in County Kildare. Titled What's in it for Ireland, it will focus on new EU governance rules and how they impact on the Irish economy. The event takes place in the John Hume building starting at 6:30 p.m. and members of the public are invited to attend. Barbara Nolan, who is head of the EU representation in Ireland, says a number of prominent economists will explain the economic path ahead for Ireland in the years to come.
This evening we will have Jim Power, who's an economist, and John Fitzgerald, who is a senior person with the Economic and Social Research Council, and our own staff as well, trying to explain what is European economic policy, how Ireland fits into all of that, what's in it for Ireland, and looking at the prospects for the Irish economy.
The European Commission is making €165 million available to fruit and veg producers who are suffering income loss due to the Russian ban on importing certain agricultural products. The money is in addition to the €125 million made available by the EC to producers in August in order to withdraw surplus supply. Roger Waite is spokesperson for outgoing Agricultural Commissioner Dacian Chiolos. He says numerous Irish fruit and vegetable producers are likely to benefit from this package.
The measure is aimed in particular at countries which exported large amounts to Russia in the last 3 years. But for all member states, including Ireland, of course, there is basically 3,000 tonnes of fruit and vegetable which could be eligible for this.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Climate change is one of the defining threats of our times. That's according to President Barroso in his address to the UN Climate Leaders Summit in New York last week. He reaffirmed the EU commitment to addressing climate change and said that the EU look forward to finalising a new global climate agreement in Paris next year. Young Irish scientist Paul Clark was awarded one of the top prizes in the European Union contest for young scientists. Mr. Clark was awarded one of three second prizes for his project, entitled Contributions to Cyclic Graph Theory. Ireland's outgoing EU Commissioner, Mara Geoghegan-Quinn, has been awarded the Légion d'honneur by French President François Hollande. It's the highest honour that can be bestowed by the French government. The award recognises Ms. Geoghegan-Quinn's remarkable contribution to the European project, according to the French government. Meanwhile, Ireland's Commissioner-designate, Phil Hogan, will appear before the European Parliament's Agricultural Committee today in Brussels as part of a series of committee hearings into the new commissioners. When it comes to women on boards, Ireland is below the EU average. That's according to statistics released last week by the Commission that show Ireland is still lagging behind when it comes to the representation of women on corporate boards. And what's more, the rate of representation is rising at a much slower rate than the EU average. Organised crime has come under attack. In an operation coordinated by Europol, the EU's law enforcement agency, law enforcement authorities from 34 countries, including Ireland, joined forces this month in an operation to tackle organised crime. Operation Archimedes targeted organised crime groups across the EU in a series of actions in hundreds of locations. Over 1,000 people were arrested. Google has been warned over an antitrust fine. The company is accused of abusing its dominant position in Europe, where it accounts for 90% of search traffic. The ultimatum could end Google's three-year back and forth with the EU. English is still the most popular foreign language in EU secondary schools. That's according to new figures released by Eurostat. English continued to be the most commonly studied foreign language at lower secondary level in the EU, with 97% of pupils learning it. This is far ahead of French at 34% and German at 22%. The European Commission representation in Ireland is organising a series of regional seminars on European economic policy, due to take place in Maynooth, Ennis and Dublin City University in October this year. The events, which are open to the public and free to attend, provide people around the country with an opportunity to hear from the experts and ask any questions they have about European economic policy and its impact in Ireland. Check out the European Movement website for more information. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Κάποτε μια αγάπη που τη ζήλευαν θεοί κι αγγέλη. Τώρα ξέρω πλέον ούτε θέλει, λέει ούτε να με πει. Είχα κάποτε μια αγάπη που έσταζε φωτιά, χαρά και μέλη. Τώρα ξέρω πλέον ούτε θέλει, λέει ούτε να με πει. Στο ποτήρι μου που πίνω ο γαμάν, στο μυαλό μου δύο λέξεις γύρναν. Κι αν στο σπίτι σου απ' έξω με παν, σκεφτείς να με μαζέψεις. Στο ποτήρι μου που πίνω ο χαμάν, στο μυαλό μου δύο λέξεις γύρναν. Κι αν στο σπίτι σου απ' έξω με παν, μη σκεφτείς να με μαζέψεις. Κάποτε μια αγάπη που τη ζήλευαν θεοί κι αγγέλοι. Τώρα ξέρω πλέον ούτε θέλει, λέει ούτε να με πει. Είχα κάποτε μια αγάπη σαν παλιό Σμυρνέικο τσίφτε τέλει. Τώρα πλέον γίνομαι κουρέλι με ζεϊμπέκικο βαρύ. Στο ποτήρι μου που πίνω ο χαμάν, στο μυαλό μου δύο λέξεις γύρναν. Κι αν στο σπίτι σου απ' έξω
πάνε μη σκεφτείς να με μαζέψεις. Στο ποτήρι μου που πίνω ο χαμάν, στο μυαλό μου δύο λέξεις γύρναν κι αν στο σπίτι σου απ' έξω με πάνε μη σκεφτείς να με μαζέψεις. Είχα κάποτε μια αγάπη που τη σύλλευαν θεοί κι αγγέλη, τώρα ξέρω πλέον ούτε θέλει, λέει ούτε να με δει.
One of Greece's most popular singers at the moment, Padilas Padilidas, and that's a track called Ea Kapoto Mia Agapi.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
The Labyrinth Musical Workshop, which was founded in 1982 by Ross Daly, started as a group of musicians dedicated to the preservation and promotion of musical traditions from all around the world and to the creative interaction between them. It's situated in a manor house in the village of Hedetsi, 20 kilometres south of Heraklion on the wonderful island of Crete, where people can visit a permanent exhibition of rare musical instruments as well as exhibitions of the work of some of the best of contemporary instrument makers worldwide. I caught up with Ross Daly and asked him to give us a brief overview of the Labyrinth Musical Workshop.
So the Labyrinth Musical Workshop, basically, it has four or five basic directions. Basic activities. One activity is that we have here a museum of musical instruments from the broader world of modal musical traditions, which that includes basically from Northwest Africa up until Western China and including the Balkans, Central Asia, Transcaucasia, and India. We organize every year a yearly program of seminars and masterclasses for instruments of these traditions, and also for the vocal traditions of these traditions. So we have teachers coming from many, many different countries to come and teach here, and also students who come from a total of more than 35 different countries. We concentrate on seminars which have to do with general musical subjects such as composition and orchestration and things like that. We also do seminars and masterclasses in the field of musical technology, so that young people will be able to produce and record their own material, which I consider to be very important. And we also, in collaboration with the municipality of the city of Heraklion, we do a series of concerts in the city of Heraklion with the people who come and teach here. And starting from 2010, we will do a quite large Cretan World Music Festival in the city of Heraklion, in collaboration with the municipality of Heraklion.
Fantastic. Where did the idea come from, Ross? And why Hedetsi in
So I can't hear again, sorry.
Where did the idea come from, Ross?
Basically, all of the traditions you find in the whole region of the world, which are where you find modal musical traditions, they're all interconnected, but contemporary political realities often obscure that fact a bit, and so people are not really able to see it so clearly, and they're not able to make use of the opportunities which are given by that. So the different people tend to become a bit isolated in their own world. So we've always been interested in the idea of collaboration and cooperation between these various traditions in the hope that this sort of dialogue will actually enrich all of the traditions. So that's why we're interested in that.
And why did you decide to locate in Hedetsi?
Well, it just so happened that the man who happens to be the mayor of the district here, he is an old friend of mine. I was living in Athens, and I was looking for a way to get out of the city, basically, and back to the countryside. And he was interested in upgrading the cultural activities of the municipality here. So it was a good coincidence that we were both looking for the same thing. And so that's how the location happened to present itself.
And of course, Ross, I mean, you were interested in tonal music long before the word world music was bandied around. How have you found things advance in the last few years with the popularity of world music?
Well, it's true that both I and, of course, other people have been interested in this type of music for a very long time, long before world music existed. as a subject. World music is a bit of a problematic subject in many ways. It's now, it started out in a rather interesting way. It's now become sort of, it's gone more in the direction of mainstream pop, really, with just a little bit of spice
yeah.
and exoticism thrown in. But I think that the subject of the various indigenous musical traditions of all different parts of the world is a very, very large subject, and it doesn't actually come under any general heading, such as world music or ethnic or anything like that. It's a very interesting and very all-encompassing subject, which I think that there's always going to be some people who are definitely interested in that. But it's never going to be, I think, a mainstream interest, no. And whenever it tries to go in that direction, I think it always loses something. It's by nature a little bit specialized.
Right. One of the things that struck me was, and you might be able to explain this, and you mentioned it earlier on, what is the essential differences between modal music and tonal music?
Well, modal music is a type of music which uses usually non-tempered scales, which in many cases do not facilitate the use of harmony. The use of harmony in Western polyphonic music, in the, you know, the Western European tradition, was facilitated by the creation of a tempered scale in which all of the notes of the natural scale were slightly altered to facilitate harmony. In a large section of the world, this change did not take place. They chose not to do that. And they chose to work in a different direction using very, very developed melodic structures and rhythmic structures and foregoing the use of harmony. And this accounts for approximately 60% of the world's musical traditions, I would say.
Right.
And it's something you would never compare it to polyphonic music. You'd never say one is better than the other. It's not a matter of comparison.
Yep, yep.
A comparison is a bit of like an apple-orange comparison, really. It doesn't make much sense.
Yeah.
But they're just two very, very different musical directions which have extreme interest, both of them. And we just happen to have chosen the one direction as being of interest to ourselves.
And would that explain sometimes the when you said the homogenization of world music towards more the sort of pop music sort of dimension? Is that mainly because people are in the Western world are more familiar with the harmony aspect of music?
Well, yes, that's perhaps true because you know, world music is basically a term which was coined by the music industry, and it's something which is useful as a category to the music industry.
Right.
And, of course, they're always trying to appeal to as large a public as possible for the sake of, you know, commerciality.
Right.
So it is only natural that they would gravitate to more sort of accessible forms. And so they want something which is very accessible to large numbers of people who don't happen to sort of take a very specialized interest in music, which is very understandable, of course. And so they try and make it rather more accessible to people who listen to mainstream musical tendencies.
Ross, the Labyrinth Musical Workshop is a fairly unique foundation. Are you aware of any other type of foundations across Europe that would be similar to your own sort of initiative?
Well, I've been in various parts of Europe to other seminars and masterclasses, so that's, of course, nothing new at all. I've not come across another one in Europe which caters for this specific subject of modal musical traditions in general. In that sense, I would say that we're probably very unusual, if not unique.
Definitely. I do think it's a fantastic idea, and it's a very commendable initiative that you've taken there. Just one of the other things, and it's something that always rears its head in these interviews, is the funding, Ross, for your organisation. How were you funded?
That's a difficult subject. We've made use in the past of various European programmes, which, of course, they're very, very good for setting things up, but European programs are not designed for the upkeep and maintenance and the running of organizations. They're designed for the creation of new projects and things like that. We've had problems in the past trying to make sense of the Greek Ministry of Culture, But we have been fortunate in that we've had the support of the local municipality, of the municipality Nikos Kazantzakis. And in this last year, the municipality of Heraklion, which is a very large municipality, has pledged its support. And so that basically is enough now to keep it going.
Right. I mean, obviously, you would like to see a bit more European fund, maybe some of the European Social Fund being directed towards initiatives like yourself.
Well, actually, you know, the European Union has been forthcoming in funding. But there is a bit of a misunderstanding here in Greece, which is that many people in the government believe that projects which are started through European funding, that the funding for the continuation and for the day-to-day running over the years should also be provided by Europe.
Right, yeah.
And that is not actually the philosophy of European programs. European programs are designed for you to start something, get it off the ground, and then it should be run with national funding. So they're making a bit of a mistake, and this doesn't affect just us, it affects other organizations as well, in that they are under the impression that they can get funding to keep it running for years and years from Europe without putting money of their own into it.
Right, okay.
And that's something which is not supposed to happen. So, but I think we've now found a good solution through the participation of the municipality of Heraklion. And whatever specific European programs come up which are relevant to our activities, then we can always make an attempt to to submit a proposal for those and see what we can do. But it is very important that any organization has funding from the state itself and from the country in which it's in. It must have national funding.
Is it a possibility for you, or have you done this before there, where you would bring the musical workshop and the seminars that you do actually on a tour? Have you tried that before?
Well, we've done that in a limited way with in two islands in the north of Greece, in Corfu and in Lefkada. We took seminars to those islands in the winter months in the past years, and that was a very interesting project. And it is something which we'd definitely be interested in discussing, is taking at least part of the seminars, because the whole thing may be a bit difficult, but at least part of it on a, and as you said, on a sort of a tour. That would be a very interesting idea. We'd be very open to that idea, yes.
Ross, can I give your website address there as well?
Yes, of course, yes, no problem.
Or maybe
yes.
You'd like to give it yourself, would you, for the labyrinth?
Yes, it's www. We have several websites, actually. We have one which is for the musical workshop labyrinth, which is www.labyrinthmusic.gr, GR, the first two letters of Greece. And we also have, there's my own personal one, which is www.rossdailymusic.com. On either of those two websites, you'll be able to find any information you need concerning the activities of the Musical Workshop Labyrinth.
And some of the musicians that you have won't likely be available normally through any other sort of resource.
Yes, most of the musicians, you know, are very, very highly regarded in their own countries and in their own traditions. Many of them may not be very well known outside of that region, because of the fact that they, you know, they belong to a very specific tradition, which is very sort of regional. It's quite often rather difficult for someone who would like to study with them. It's not always the easiest thing in the world to do.
Yeah.
But we managed to bring them here and make them available to the students. And we also do it at a very, very reasonable price, because we're very concerned that that any student who wants to is actually able to come. So that's why the whole thing runs below cost. So just to get an example, a seminar or masterclass will last for 1 week, and it's 7 hours a day of lessons. And the student will pay €250 for his accommodation and for his lessons for the whole week, which is very reasonable, so that any student basically can afford that. And then we have to find the funding to cover the losses.
Yeah. And you're getting students from all over the world there, I presume.
That's correct, yes.
The facilities there are available to them. Is that a case as well that they interact with some of the musicians that would be performing?
Yes. One very important thing is that, you know, there's a lot of free time outside of the classes and outside the lessons. And in that time, the musicians do actually interact with each other, and the teachers also interact with each other, and there's a lot of exchange of information going on there. I should also point out that we did have last year, we did our first seminar of Irish traditional music with two teachers from the Limerick University, where they have a very, very good department of Irish music.
That's right, yeah.
Niall Keegan and Sandra Joyce, and they came, and that was a very successful seminar. We want to continue that collaboration, especially with the Limerick University. And also, please, we'd like to make it very clear to anyone listening that anybody who is in our area at any given time is always very, very welcome to come and visit. And we have almost daily garden concerts here, which are free for the public and things like that. So anybody who's in our area is very, very welcome to come and visit.
Well, as part of my holiday in Crete, my recent holiday in Crete, I did visit your wonderful workshop, and a few photographs that I've taken, Ross, I'll put it up on the website that we use for podcasting as well. So we'll make as much information available here on Europe Today for your wonderful program.
Okay, thank you.
Ross Daly from the Labyrinth Musical Workshop in Houdetsi in Crete. Thanks very much for joining us here on Europe Today.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Thank you.
I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. I want to say a very, very special thank you to Ross Daly from Labyrinth Musical Workshop on the beautiful island of Crete in Greece. Join us here again next week on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time on your programme Europe Today.